It's time for What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.
Kia ora, Paula. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to chat to you.
Yeah, and you? How's it all going?
It's going pretty well, actually. It's going pretty good. I'm having a nice time
day
up on the
three.
Breakfast show. Day three. Yes, we're warming into it now. Yeah.
Good on you.
Hey, can we start by talking about the climate a little bit, which was that big report that came out yesterday, looking at the state of extinction all around the world, which is not great. And today, of course, the government has said that they're going to be releasing a report on the climate as well. I'm quite interested to see what the National Party would like to see from some climate legislation.
Yeah, look, I mean, that'll be announced in due course, so I have to let that go through its process, and I certainly know that the leaders have been talking and you know, sort of working their way through that. Because we've got some, as you say, some massive challenges ahead of us. New Zealand may not be the cause of the greatest pollution in the world, but we certainly suffer the consequences with being islands, with, you know, just seeing the effects that has on our shoreline and others, and you can see a financial cost, let alone, of course, the environmental and the social that goes alongside of it. So we are in the space of change, and in fact, we were the ones that signed up to the Paris Agreement, and I think set a pretty ambitious target. So what are the next steps, and how do we accomplish it? How do we, you know, with a great farming community like we've got that, you know, I personally am really proud of as the backbone of our kind of our country, how do we make sure that we are actually doing that more sustainably all of the time? What do we do about getting more renewable energy? You know, like, there's a whole lot of things in there, and I think that's what you want to see, and hopefully it's a place where we can do it as a parliament and come together.
Do you think that we need to be committing to some more sort of drastic action? I mean, the report that came out yesterday was pretty shocking. It was kind of unprecedented in the way that it sort of, I guess, the depth and the scale of the disaster that we're sort of in the middle of, climate disaster. What would you think is, you know, I mean, I understand that you have to do it in its due process as well, but what is something that you think you would be, I guess, very pleased to see come about quickly, I guess, out of
it? But I think the world does. I mean, I think you make a really good point, but I can't remember the exact number, but, you know, we're responsible for 0.0, you know, 2%
but
or something.
Does it not
of
go
the world's population?
Yeah, but
so, I mean, we have to play our part, and we can lead. And particularly, I mean, you know what I reckon could make the biggest that New Zealand could do that would make the biggest difference is that we could be putting more into research that actually supports the short-term gases of the methane around farming that could then be shared with a whole lot of other countries like Ireland and the UK and Uruguay and other farming communities.
Do you think we also need to be thinking about how we change the way we're farming? Not saying that we shouldn't have farming and that it's not a hugely important part of our infrastructure and culture in New Zealand as well, but do you think we should be looking at how we can make that much more sustainable and much more, part of the whole way that we have to rethink everything about how we live, I guess. Farming does contribute hugely to the climate situation in New Zealand, but broadly as well. Do you think we need to be thinking about how we can radically change that too?
I don't know if I'd use the word radically, but yes, I do believe we need to be more sustainable and keep working towards that, which the farming community are doing. I mean, we're the most sustainable farmers in the world. And, you know, our 4 million, or, you know, nearly 5 million people feed about 40 million around the world with what we produce and what we do. So in some respects, you can kind of, you know, shut things down here. Well, they'll just be done somewhere else in the world less sustainably and causing more damage. So, but should we be improving? Absolutely. I think, if I'm being really honest, what I saw, because I was the climate change minister for a while there, was some really great progressive farming practices and still some that were not. And, well, you know, there is a real job there, I think, for the farming community to make sure that we do have, we're improving and we are able to look at it, you know, more sustainably across the board. Because, you know, the farm next door, not doing what you're doing, you know, having out their streams not, you know, not planted with natives and everything else is causing damage.
All right. Well, thanks, Paula. We might move on to talk about cannabis now, because that's also another very hot topic at the moment. Of course, the referendum is on everybody's lips at the moment. And you've been talking a lot about it, obviously, as National's drug reform spokesperson. And I know that you have some qualms with some of the, proposed things that will come about in the referendum. One thing that I thought was quite maybe interesting to talk about is one of the things you've pulled out is that the legal age should not necessarily be 20, which has been one of the possible recommendations, because, you know, well, actually, why is that? I'm quite curious.
Yeah, well, reading the paper was where that came. So I'll start by saying I don't know what the legal age should be. I'm not an expert. I can see arguments for anything from 18 to 20 to 25. But it just feels like they've kind of plucked 20 out of thin air and said, well, it's older than 18, but it's not, you know, like the evidence goes to 25, actually. But that's not realistic. We've also seen a report that said by the age of 21, 80% of young people have tried it. Hands on heart, I tried it before the age of 21. You know, so let's be real in here as well. So I get that. So I don't know what the age should be, but I just, you know what I'm loving this week is that actually the country's woken up that we're having this referendum. They are debating it. It's not my referendum. It's not my decision. It is New Zealand's. And I just hope that we can have a debate that sees us, you know, wherever it lands, but at least it's informed and then we're not sort of sleepwalking to a tick in a box in a booth in 18 months' time.
I think that's probably fair enough. And what do you think about the idea of it being binding? Because that's been something that's been talked about a lot recently, a binding referendum, and what sort of binding might mean necessarily as well.
Well, they keep telling us it's binding, and let's make absolutely no bones about it, it's not. It's an election promise now from them, but actually they, and I don't mean this, actually mean that, you know, election promises change all the time because you go into coalition and you do a deal and you can't do. Capital gains tax is one that we've seen more recently. Labor promised it. They weren't able to deliver it once they were in. So they have made an election promise that they'll do it, but that is not binding. The way that it could have been more binding was if legislation had gone through Parliament, into Select Committee, Committee of the Whole House, and then it sits there as an act with a date after a yes vote to be enacted. And that is far more binding than what we're currently seeing, which is effectively an election promise. And I would have thought that that's what they promised the public, a binding referendum, and it's what they should be delivering.
All right. And the last thing that we will talk about this morning as well is there's been quite a lot about various leaderships across parties in Aotearoa at the moment. It must be quite, I guess, frustrating for the National Party to see that there's still a lot of columns, there's a lot of discourse online about sort of leader issues within the National Party. What would you say to that?
Yeah, it's kind of become a bit of sport and entertainment almost for other people. And, you know, for us, we just are keeping our head in the game, which is playing our part in democracy to try and improve New Zealanders' lives. And that's the truth of it. It's what we're here for.
But it's what
we actually care about. But as you say, it's distracting when others are kind of going on about, you know, potential leadership issues and everything else. So we've just got to hold our own and keep going and know that we're strong and know that we're united.
But so you're saying that there is no truth to those issues with the sort of, I guess, of idea of instability of leadership.
No.
I mean, there were incidents last year that sort of, I guess, people have led a lot of people to think that, I guess, that there might be some instability within the party. There are a few incidents that, I guess, the party seemed a bit torn over, interpersonal stuff. Is that, I guess, behind you guys now? Or
no, I mean, we're a huge party with, you know, we've got 55 members of parliament, we've got literally tens of thousands of members, and we're the biggest political party in the country. In that, you're going to have a lot of personalities, and we're always sort of doing what we do like any other workplace. But there is definitely no instability. You know, we've got a common purpose, and we're absolutely united in that, and we're just sort of getting on with it. So, you know, I tell you, John Key used to often say, if you want perfect, don't go into politics. It's just not, because of everything you're dealing with. And you're dealing with people's lives, you know, and so in that context, it's big and it's complex and everything else. But I can tell you that we're a united team that know what we're here for and what we want to accomplish, and we're getting on with it.
All right. Well, thanks for calling us up this morning, Paula. Making it very easy for my first big political interview on the BFM Breakfast Show. So that was good. Cheers for that.
You did a great job, and I just wish you all the best.
Thank you. Well, we'll speak to you in 2 weeks' time.
Great.
Cheers.
Thanks, Rachel.
That was What's Up with Opposition Deputy Leader Paula Bennett.